Hi, it's JC with the top five reasons you should watch all the big games at Hooters instead of at home. Number one, our nearly world-famous wings, shaken in your favorite wing sauce. You just can't duplicate that. Two, pitchers of beer served ice-cold at your table so you don't miss any of the action. Three and four, Hooters delicious seafood and sandwiches. And number five, all the food and fun served up by the world-famous Hooters girls, of course. See you at Hooters.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, and yes, it is presented by Hooters. A reminder for all those of you in any of the four leagues I commission, the Hall of Fame Fantasy League, the Todd Wright Tour Fantasy Podcast League, the Foundation League, my personal league that existed before the podcast did, or even the Moneyball League, we're having our regular season finale watch party event at the Hooters on Hillsborough Avenue. Monday night for Seahawks hosting Vikings from roughly 7:30, 7:45 until halftime on Monday. Just stopped in Hooters on Hillsborough, was talking to Ty the bartender and one of the managers about our event on Monday night. If you are in the Tampa Bay area and not currently in one of the podcast leagues, but you played in a previous year or you want to play in 2020 in a podcast league, come on out and join us. Bring a guest. Bring as many people as you want. Everyone's on their own for food and drink. We're just getting together and watching the first half of the game from a fantasy standpoint. And it's also a meaningful game in the standings as well because it's Vikings and Seahawks. But consider yourself invited for our fantasy regular season finale watch event at Hooters on Hillsborough Avenue, just west of Northdale Mabry and just north of Steinbrenner Field and Raymond James Stadium. Hopefully you are getting this podcast Sunday morning prior to the 1 o'clock starts in the all-important week 13. This should be, as I said, Monday night. I'm calling it the regular season finale because it is in all my leagues, and in most fantasy leagues, the regular season ends in week 13. So, let me give you some last minute as I record this immediately after the fantastic Auburn-Alabama game ended. I have no skin in the game here. Don't be upset with me by calling it a fantastic game if you're an Alabama fan. Of note, the two games Alabama loses this year, they basically gave up almost 50 points in each one. I have a feeling this defensive coordinator they brought in from UTSA a couple of years ago, not going to be the defensive coordinator next year. He'll get the Lane Kiffin exit strategy. If USF fires Charlie Strong, I wouldn't be surprised if Nick Saban calls on Charlie Strong to take over being defensive coordinator in Tuscaloosa, because Nick has a lot of money to hire assistants and seems to have an inclination to bring in assistants on his staff with head coaching experience. To me, it makes sense. As it stands at roughly 8 p.m. Eastern time Saturday night, just a few things as we look ahead to Sunday and Monday in fantasy. First of all, Zach Ertz questionable, and it feels like it's questionable more on the side of doubtful in an otherwise good matchup for Zach Ertz against the Miami Dolphins defense. The Eagles earlier on Saturday activated a tight end from the practice squad. I own Ertz in one league. I added Dallas Goedert, probably the most prominent second tight end on any team in the NFL, high draft pick a couple of years ago, guy who gets red zone targets. Ertz has been extremely productive in recent weeks. Granted, Alshon Jeffrey is back, and I believe Nelson Aguilar is also back for this game. But if Ertz is declared inactive prior to the game against the Dolphins, Goddard is a play, not as good a play as Zach Ertz, but he is a play. And it's the rare tight end handcuff you want to have, especially considering this is week 13 in the matchup against the Dolphins. Don't think he'll have the Ertz numbers, but it's a good play. It's also one where I noticed one of my opponents in one of my leagues has Zach Ertz starting I went out, grabbed Goddard, stashed him on my roster so my opponent cannot make that move against me in a win-or-go-home game that I have against that opponent. So that's where we stand on Zach Ertz. And if Dallas Goedert is available on waivers, you might want to have him, whether you own Ertz or your opponent owns Ertz. A continuing theme, and I want to do a whole podcast on this, and I still might, is how the Arizona Cardinals are single-handedly ruining your fantasy football season. What was it, about a month and a half ago, they declared David Johnson healthy. Johnson touched the ball one time, never touched the ball again. So if you played David Johnson, you got nothing out of him in that running back spot. Then there was what else did we have as it related to the Arizona Cardinals? We had something else with Arizona again. I want to do this podcast at a later date, but they're at it again as Kyler Murray popped up on the injury report with a hamstring issue. Hurdy got in a full practice Friday, but maybe for some quarterbacks, a hamstring injury wouldn't be a big deal, but the legs are a big part of Kyler Murray's game. And to stay away from, and we'll talk about the Rams in a moment, if that hamstring goes, Murray might not be as effective. That is even one in one of my leagues where I was planning to use Murray. Look, I don't think Murray will do to the Rams what Lamar Jackson did to the Rams, but I get the analogy. Lamar Jackson, to me, can work the short to mid-range middle of the field better than Kyler Murray can. Murray works downfield and the edges with wheel routes, screen routes, out routes, comeback routes, but he can throw the deep ball down, but the short to mid-range down the seam routes, I don't think it's there yet the way it has been for Lamar Jackson. More time, maybe Murray can develop that way, just as Lamar Jackson has developed the ability to make those throws. But keep checking status on Murray in one of my leagues. I went out and claimed Sam Darnold, just in case I don't want to play Murray because of that hamstring injury against the Rams. Speaking of which, here we are, week 13, and actually the last couple of weeks, and the Jets are suddenly relevant. I mean, the only thing they did in the first 2 months of the year was beat the Cowboys. The last few weeks, a number of Jets have been decent fantasy plays. Le'Veon Bell's been better if you spent the high draft pick on him in August. Sam Darnold has not only been throwing for multiple touchdowns, he's even been running for touchdowns. Crowder has been getting a lot of targets. Robbie Anderson has had some value as well. Griffin, the tight end, has been making the most of limited targets for those of you still playing the mandatory tight end or looking for something on waivers that is even touchdown dependent. So the Jets are suddenly relevant, as is Devontae Parker. This is someone whose name I didn't even want to mention in the four-year history of this podcast, and then last week I claimed him, I played him, and I liked the result, and I'm playing him again this week against the lousy Philadelphia secondary, because you know game flow is going to have Fitzmagic throwing the ball against the Eagles, and Parker has been good. Whether he's finally learning how to play in the NFL, finally has a quarterback who can get him the ball, or he's just playing knowing brighter things are ahead. He can get out of Miami or get his next contract either with Miami or somewhere else. Last week, and I talked about this, I benched both Dak Prescott and Amari Cooper against the Pats. It turned out to be the right move. You can consider that with the Texans, even though the Texans are at home in a climate-controlled environment against the Patriots Sunday night. So instead of us talking about Prescott and Cooper, we're talking about Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins. This is analogous. I have Watson and Hopkins in one of my leagues. As it currently stands, I'm planning on playing Hopkins just because he has a history of having a floor against Gilmore, who is on the injury report, by the way. And McCourty, New England's second best corner, apparently isn't going to play at all, which actually to me is good news for Will Fuller for downfield throws from Deshaun Watson. It's been an odd week for the Patriots. Their kicker has an appendectomy, so they're on their fourth kicker, even if he only kicks for a week, and Kai Forbath, who hasn't kicked for over a year. And a bunch of guys are ill. So Bill Belichick puts 17 guys with this illness on the injury report. And some think Bill is just messing with everyone, as Bill is known to do. But you have decisions to make on Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins. I actually feel better about Hopkins providing a floor than Watson providing his normal floor. And this is just one of those games Deshaun Watson and the Texans do not win. And I will side more with the Patriots and their defense and their pedigree than I will with Deshaun Watson. And I have other quarterback options rather than Watson, such as Jameis Winston, who by the end of Sunday may be leading the NFL in passing yards. Dalvin Cook popped up on the injury report the other day. He is now off it. It was a chest injury, but he got in a full practice the last thing I saw. So for those of you really, really worried, and I own Dalvin Cook as well, that you wouldn't have Dalvin Cook, or it was going to be sort of a game time, is he active or inactive for a Monday night game, and you needed to make the decision 36 hours in advance of Sunday, because those are your only other options, it doesn't look like you're going to have to do that. That Cook, and check on this again Sunday morning, but Cook looks like he's good to go for the Vikings in the regular season fantasy finale against the Seattle Seahawks. Thielen remains on the injury report. Sadly, for those of us that love and own Adam Thielen, it's been a waste, an absolute waste for now a month and a half. And the only thing you can hope for is that Thielen pays you back for your patience by helping you win in the playoffs if you're fortunate enough to get there. The last thing I want to bring up in this quick podcast that I hope you're listening to before your Sunday games is the fall of the Rams. In one of my leagues this week, I needed to stream a kicker, and I was amazed that Zuerlein was cut. That should tell you more than anything else what has become of the former NFC champion Rams and their signature offense, that in a fantasy league, someone felt, well, Zuerlein doesn't get enough points or attempts, so I'm going to move on to somebody else. Cooper Kupp has not produced for 3 weeks in a row. Gurley's numbers have been eh for those of you that made the investment on him. He just doesn't seem to be able to move laterally. While his straight line is okay, it just doesn't look the same as it did beginning of last year, or certainly this time of year in 2017 when Gurley single-handedly was getting you into the playoffs or winning you playoff weeks. Jared Goff, as much or some cases in more so than Mitchell Trubisky, looks like he's fallen off the edge of the earth with his ability to make reads, make throws, command an offense. The Rams have rotated a lot of different offensive linemen this year, something they didn't do in their Super Bowl year. And those of you who are Robert Woods owners or Brandon Cooks owners, or I even got an email from someone who was going to play Everett at tight end. Everett is out. But even so, why would you play Everett when he even splits reps with Higbee in a bad offense? Even though the matchup against Arizona looks otherwise good, these aren't those Rams anymore. They just aren't. And when a Greg Zuerlein is showing up as a kicker on waivers, you know, a guy who was a given as a top two or three or four kicker, and he's on waivers in a week where you may need a win to get a first round bye or a playoff berth, that's pretty telling to me. All right. Remember, I don't have time to answer your emails on Sunday, but I do on Monday. If you have one going into the Monday night game or are already looking ahead to the playoffs or stacking your roster with a first round bye, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Remember, for non-fantasy content, please check out the Todd Wright Toddcast. My most recent Todd Wright Toddcast was my opinion on why Jerry Jones did not dump Jason Garrett on Black Friday. And for the first time, I thought it was the right time to dump Jason Garrett, and I don't understand why Jerry didn't do it. There will be another Todd Wright Toddcast coming soon about the top 100 players and specifically the dynamic of Derek Brooks being in and him wondering why Warren Sapp is not in. It is a Toddcast I'm really going to enjoy doing. Remember, the email is ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Unfortunately, I won't have time to answer your emails on Sunday, but I do Monday through Saturday respond to every single one of them as I have for 3 years running. Thank you for listening to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters, and good luck in week 13.